O God, we thank you for your word, which is sharp as a two-edged sword, which cuts us to the quick and pierces our doubt and fear. May the words that we receive be helpful and useful and glorifying to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this past week, many of us were at elementary camp, and the theme was All Things New. And I was given charge of giving like the Bible study input every day during the morning and afternoon. Day one was God is doing a new thing. Day two, God is doing new creation. Day three, God was shaping things new. Day four, God gave us a new heart to express ourselves. And day five was being part of a new community, new family, a new team. On the morning of day five, we're talking about being a team and what it meant. And I thought this was kind of ingenious, but Andrew Wolverton put together a camper's version of The Amazing Race. How many of you have watched that show, The Amazing Race? Nobody? One person. It's a reality show where people travel from station to station or country to country, and it's a flat-out race, and whoever wins get $1 million. And they go, you know, they take airline trips and have cash and have to take local transportation, this and that. But for the campers, they're divided into teams and mixed randomly, and they were supposed to work together and race together. They weren't grouped according to their best friends, or they didn't know each other that well, but they were thrown together randomly, and they didn't know their weaknesses and strengths until the actual race. So I was at one station, Marlou was a different station, and Marlou was telling me one of the challenges that she was manning. The same group went through my station, and they were very good at the challenge that I had, where you put a spoon in your mouth, in like the little plastic thing, and then you run towards one side and come back without dropping it. So they did that very, very quickly, fine. But when they came to Marlou's challenge, it was putting a puzzle together. It required a bit of eye and mind coordination, and they weren't as skilled as other teams. So they got stuck there. They couldn't seem to do it. And in the midst of it, one of the kids started to sing Amazing Grace. He was singing so the team wouldn't panic. He was singing so the team wouldn't get stressed out. He was singing so they wouldn't lose their cool. He wanted to encourage them and keep them focused. Now, this kid is like fourth grade, and he's singing Amazing Grace. Later, he told my wife that he learned the song Vacation Bible School at his church in Palmdale. So he kept on singing and singing, and they couldn't solve it. So finally, Marlou said, "You guys can go," just to get him to stop singing. Ironically, he was the one who won the musical chairs competition, but he also seemed to do well with team sports. We talked about it as a group. What does it mean to be part of a team? Being part of a team is to realize that there are some who are stronger and smarter and faster than we are. There are some who are more gifted than we are in other areas. And though we don't like to admit it, we have our weaknesses. But we don't like to be exposed, and we don't like to be singled out. And so as I was talking to these kids, I say, this is a problem that we're going to face throughout your life, or a challenge more so. How do we have patience with a team member who is not as gifted as some of us may be that we think we are? How do we have patience with a team member who is very different from us, or who may be really unusual, or how do we have patience and accept the person who makes a lot of mistakes or is rebellious or is disruptive? So I was telling these to third and fourth graders, fifth graders, but in essence it's the same when we become adults, isn't it? We find ourselves thrown together with groups of people, and the universal shuffling of the deck, we don't always get to choose who we work with, who we live with. So we have to cope, and we have to change and adjust our attitudes, our faith, and our capacity to love. How do we do that? Well, it comes from Christ Jesus. It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from Scripture. Sometimes we have to experience something so profound in life in order to see the need that we need to adjust or shift or make changes. During camp, I was also reading this book. If you remember, Roela Rivera was here 2 Sundays ago, and she was talking about her book, and she shared Glimpses of Heaven. If you remember, she and her husband had the book prayed over, and there was an unveiling. And I decided to read the book while I was at camp. Apparently, Roela had suffered a stroke, and both of her retinas were detached. You can imagine what followed. Many tests, consultations, surgeries. From 2000 to 2007, she had 7 surgeries. And even before her stroke, she had already had some kind of retina surgery, cataract corrective surgery, and some laser surgery later. She said each time she was going into surgery, she was so excited with anticipation, but only to be faced with disappointment. After 7 procedures, there's no significant improvement to her vision. And in chapter 10, she says, "I felt deeply frustrated. My spirit was broken and my hope fading away." She said she started to identify with Job and Jacob in the Bible. And after reaching the depths of despair and crying out in desperation and asking all these questions, she said she finally rose above the ashes. She was inspired to change her focus and her filter of how she approached life. She said she began to look with spiritual eyes. She began to look with the eyes of her heart. This morning, our lectionary scripture from Colossians 3 talks about stripping off the old self and putting on the new. And when Ruella was able to surrender to the Spirit and will of God, she could let go and move forward. She could tap into her deepest feelings and her highest thoughts and capture them in poetry. In 2008, she entered the poem, The Art of Living, and was given an award, and it was published in the International Library of Poetry in Maryland. But you say, how does this happen? Is it as simple as taking off a coat and putting on a new one? Sure, we have to admit to what is our old self and surrender that to the Spirit and let loose of control, but how? On page 65, Ruella had a section which she wrote. She said, "Respect yourself and respect others." She says, "Respect is a practice done with love and honor. You respect God with love and reverence and faith. You respect your parents and elders because you love and honor them. You respect yourself because you love and honor yourself. You cannot give what you do not have. You need to respect yourself first and then be respectful to others. You owe respect to yourself and to those around you." I guess what dawned on her and what dawned on me was that we often don't respect others because deep down we may not respect ourselves. We may not be patient with other people because we may not be patient with ourselves. We may not accept other people because we don't accept ourselves. There may be some kind of self-loathing or expectations that we raise too high, and we are unkind to others when in fact we are unkind to ourselves, demanding too much of ourselves. Sometimes the deep dissatisfaction we have with other people is our own dissatisfaction with ourselves. And why is that? Maybe parents hammered us too hard. Maybe some life experience at an early age left us wounded, or maybe some recent experience colors and filters everything else. That's where we have to distinguish between the old self and the new self. Our camp curriculum was teaching that God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new creation, a new shape, a new heart, a new community, and starts with respect. Respect of self and respect of others. Love your neighbor as yourself, it says. And in verse 12, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. I was proud to be part of a camp that fostered respect. As we were sitting around our dinner tables, we were asking kids, "Where did you go to camp last year?" And some of them had gone to the Boys and Girls Club camp, but they said they noticed a difference, that the kids at the other camp were mean to each other, and their camp was different. One kid stood up at campfire and said this was his most favorite camp, because everyone was so nice to him. In other words, he felt respected. He felt accepted and acknowledged, so he could let down his defenses. He even admitted that he cried at one of the campfires. A very young, impressionable youth. The world will change him. The world will color his perceptions, and he could go either way. He's very bright and very charming and attractive and a lot of charisma. And what we tried to do is plant seeds in him. It took me going to camp after not going for 10 years to see the need for changing the old self to the new self.